Mini episode 540 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your football talking FDH Lounge dignitaries. We are breaking down the 2014 and 2015 NFL seasons, looking back, looking ahead, division by division. We are up now to the NFC North, which is
the Norris.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you give me a back while you're at it from the same guy, same tired shtick. But this is the division that has been the private domain of the Green Bay Packers for much of the time. Since
I had nothing there for you, by the way. I'm sorry. I was going back into my Chris Berman database, and I came up with nothing.
Yeah, that's about it. I think we got his two catchphrases out there. Other than
you're with me, leather.
Yeah, I was gonna say, oh, great minds think alike. You beat me to the punch. But, Green Bay, once again, in the end, pulling away in this division. I forecast them to be the division champs at 11-5. They were even better than that. You were right in that the schedule and everything
loved
was going to play
Bay
into their favor. Yeah, and I agree. And, again, I love them going into next year as well. What's not to love? One of the things about them, and you didn't even see it until the NFC Championship game, I had expected, I thought that, when they drafted Ha-Ha Clinton Dix in the draft last year, I looked at it. I thought it was going to be a great move because this is a team that needed to get better defensively. That's a guy that I thought could be sort of like a force multiplier, and you did see it in the Seattle game. You did see the impact when you have that kind of a playmaking safety in there, how much it can help even in the front seven and kind of make all the guys around you even better. They still need to continue to upgrade. For as much as everyone loves to hob Ted Thompson's knob, you know, defensively the last couple of years, you know.
The name of my future father-in-law, by the way. Have I ever told you that?
Ted Thompson?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Interesting.
Just a little personal side here.
Does he have any doughy rumpled relatives named Mike McCarthy? That would be quite a coincidence.
No, our in-game decision making on the holidays is usually much better.
Yeah. Very nice. Well,
we never settle for field goals when I get together with the in-laws.
Exactly. You know, the fact that they had to move A.J. Hawk inside to play as much as – Clay Matthews, because A.J. Hawk's been inside. But to move Clay Matthews inside as much as they have situationally, you shouldn't have to depend upon that. They really need to continue to beef up the linebacking core, more of the front seven. They're not there yet. But if they get another impact player like Ha-Ha Clinton Dix from last year's draft – which they've proven they can do that mid to later in the first round, I think they'll be okay. Their work is not done yet. And what helps them in the wider NFC, and we'll talk about this later on when we get into the discussion with Seattle, is that the teams that I think most of us would say are clearly still the two best teams in the NFC both come in horrifically psychologically scarred by the ending of last season. So
yes. It's
even. You don't have – I was defaulting towards Seattle until the way that they lost the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And now I'm looking at Green Bay, and I'm going, well, 6-1, half dozen of another. So the fact that I'm already looking ahead towards Seattle tells you how much I think Green Bay is the class of this division still, and that it was a great season by Detroit, but me thinks some regression is coming at least this year.
I said Green Bay would go 12-4 before the start of the season and be the second seed. They went 12-4 and were the second seed.
Yep.
We kind of joked before the year started that they were the team who would, you know, it's funny that they were had the classic profile of a non-playoff team from a year ago that will jump up and get the bye the next year. The only funny thing is they actually made the playoffs 2 years ago at 8-7-1.
Exactly.
Despite Rodgers missing all that time. So they were who I thought they were. Remember I told you, again, with the schedule, I was like, this team's going to have to a slow start. The schedule's kind of hard the first half.
Right.
But I'm like, look for him to go on a run and be as hot as anybody going to the playoffs.
Right.
That's what happened. So this was a team, you know, we just got done doing the NFC East, and we were laughing about how bad of a job we did forecasting almost all four of those teams. Green Bay was one that I felt I really had my finger on the pulse of.
Mm-hmm.
You say what's not to like about Green Bay moving forward.
Yeah, what's not to like?
I'm with you.
Right.
I'm with you as far as, look, like New England and Indy, I think you kind of made some comparison there.
Right.
This has been Green Bay's division, even going back to the end of the Brett Favre era. In the regular season last year, though, Green Bay 6-1 in games decided by 7 points or less. There was some luck there.
There was.
They also number one in the league in turnover ratio, plus 14.
Okay.
They will not match a 12-win total next year. I actually think they could fall to about 10 wins, which sounds crazy because they have the best player in the league, but on the offensive side of the ball.
My counterpoint is I expect the defense to continue to get better, so I think that
McCarthy's also – he's
– better talent will offset that.
McCarthy is handing off the play calling duties.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a good thing, though, because it will allow him more time to make decisions.
Well, in-game's not his
strength.
If
there is
anyways.
One thing about Mike McCarthy that I don't like, it's not his play calling, it's his decisions.
Right.
So I don't know if that's the positive that people are making it out to be.
Right.
You know, the more time Mike McCarthy has to think about throwing whether or not to throw challenge flags
will not
help this team.
That's a good point. But you know, Green Bay, again, as they do every year, they have an awful lot to recommend.
Oh, as
themselves.
Long as they have Aaron Rodgers, I mean, this is another one of those things. As long as you have a great quarterback that great, I mean, you can pencil, man. I mean, their floor is only so low.
Well, in terms of – you talk about 10 wins, I think their floor is probably still about 11. But where I'll agree with you is they got to sign Randall Cobb. I understand that he may be in a position to price himself out the market here in the offseason. But you got to keep him and Nelson together. I just you can't screw with a good thing there. Let me ask you this question because I've read rumors about teams such as the Browns and other folks being in the running for Randall Cobb. If he goes somewhere else, is it possibly an Eric Decker situation where somebody throws a contract at him and it like Aaron Rodgers doesn't live here anymore, so you're not worth that kind of money?
I hate signing away established receivers.
Uh huh.
The way you get receivers in the draft.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right.
Well, when was the last big money receiver deal that worked out in free agency? Like, we've ripped on all of them.
Wasn't Randall L. in Washington, I'll tell you that.
No. Wasn't Alvin Harper in Tampa Bay?
No, it wasn't.
I mean, it wasn't.
Nor Peerless Price in Tampa Bay, right?
No. I mean, like, they never work.
Yeah.
So, like, I wouldn't. I always think that they just never work. It's not a position you should overpay for people.
Jerry Rice went to the Super Bowl with Oakland. I mean, there's that.
Yeah, but Oakland got him pennies on the dollar. They weren't paying him San Francisco money.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So
it's been a while. I mean, we're struggling to think of something. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you I'm thinking really hard. But I mean, but it's because none are really coming to mind.
What was New England paying Randy Moss in 2007?
You know what? They got him preached. They got him by low.
And you know what? And
they didn't outbid. Remember,
actually,
like,
that
Oakland,
was a trade.
Oakland
yeah,
gave
trade.
Him
that
to
that
him,
wasn't
basically.
Free agency.
Oakland gave him
well,
to
I guess,
him.
Yeah, might as well have been free agency because I think it was like a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was a buy low, yeah. I'm talking about, like, committing a lot of money to a guy.
Well, as a bitter Dolphins fan, it wasn't Mike Wallace.
No, I know, and we talked about that in the AFCs.
Yeah.
But, all right, here's the thing. One thing I agree with you, so maybe I kind of convinced you that Green Bay's win total can drop off.
Could.
Thing I think I know that we agree on is Detroit's win total is going to drop off.
Well, here's the thing for all the teams, too. Two words for you, the Wests, because this division plays the AFC and the NFC West next year.
Ooh.
Not helpful.
No. Although, I don't think the NFC West is going to be as great this upcoming year.
No, but I think they're still going to be the best division in football, even with a drop-off.
Detroit, a team, one of the teams that was in that group of jumping four more wins. We see roughly a third of the league every year. We'll see its win total fluctuate by four more games. Detroit was on the positive side. Interesting that at this time last year, I said the Lions were a good candidate to do that, and then I backed off of it in August. The Lions were the only team the previous year that finished with a positive point differential in this division.
Right.
Remember, Green Bay was a fortunate winner. We talked about that moments ago. But it's funny, although the Lions only finished one game worse than the Packers in the standings this year, 12-4 to 11-5, their point differential was 100 worse. So it really was not – I don't think these teams were close. Like, they were fighting until the end for the division, but I didn't think it was that close. I thought Green Bay was clearly the better team than Detroit.
Yes.
And Detroit, if memory serves me correct, they were 6-3 in games decided by 8 points or less. Their turnover rate, which was really bad 2 years ago, improved predictably. You know, they also got rid of Jim Schwartz as their head coach, so that's an improvement right there.
Well, I don't know how much.
And they had the best
Jim
defense.
Did an amazing
they
had job in Buffalo.
They had as a coordinator. they had the best defense in the league.
Yeah.
Not named Seattle.
Yes.
But the elephant in the room is Ndamukong Suh. If he leaves, I mean, that just only
probably
exceeds the likely regression here.
They hung on to, against all odds, when it was looking like they wouldn't, Terrell Austin did not get a head coaching job. So that will help.
That does help. I don't think they'll, like, plummet to the depths of the end of the Jim Schwartz era, but I definitely see this team moving back to 500.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of related to that is Chicago, who was a major disappointment in 2014.
Oh, I picked them for 10 wins in the wild card.
Yeah,
that
me
was
too.
A big wild,
yeah, me
big
too. And that was a big whiff.
Yeah.
Is likely to improve and kind of, you know, it's what are we talking about? Regression, progression to the mean.
Yeah.
You're going to see it with Detroit and Chicago.
Fox is noted for his turnarounds, and this is a classic situation here where he can get one.
Yeah, I feel bad for Mark Trestman.
I do too.
I thought, like, it just didn't work. The only thing, though, is with Tony Romo did actually get better this past year for Dallas. He was markedly better.
He played better, yeah.
At what point does the clock just officially expire on Jay Cutler and this belief he gets better? It's got to be real. I mean, he's got to be at 11:55, doesn't he?
Pretty much. I mean, the only impressive thing that guy's done in the last couple of years is his two cameos on the league. That's about it. Because this is a guy that, again, I expected to take a step up this year, and he did not. And, again, there's no excuse for it in terms of the weapons there. I mean, the trio that he has to work with as far as wide receivers and lead running back, how many better combos are there in the league
than
Jeffrey
see,
Marshall and Forte?
There's
not more than three or four better.
You generally don't see teams that rich at the skill positions do as poorly as the Bears did last year. I mean, it was really unforgivable. It was an ominous sign when they lost to Buffalo at home in week one.
Yeah.
And, you know, from there, they go 1-2, 1-2, 2-2. I'm doing it again, Ricky. 2-2. 4-2. Boy, 4-2. Yeah, guess what? They were like 4-4 in games decided by one possession. That's including 2 8-point wins at home against Minnesota and Tampa Bay. They haven't played well at home in a while.
No, they
haven't.
That's
due to get better. I just think this team could get back to 500. And here's the thing we talked about with Dallas. And I wanted to – that was a little allusion to what I want to talk about here with Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Their defense sucked so bad last year, Chicago.
Yeah. It fell off the face of the earth.
It will not suck as bad next year. You want to know why I know that? Because I don't think it can.
Right.
Like, unless if they put you and me out there on an island and said, you guys are the starting cornerbacks.
And
you bring in a guy like John Fox, who I don't think is a great head coach, but he's a guy who, like you said,
he's well above average.
Yes. He generally engineers turnarounds, and the Bears are a team that I think gets back closer to 500 next year.
The thing of it is that sometimes this is a thing that has to happen with a team like the Bears and the way that they fell apart defensively last year. Some franchises, and I think it tends to happen more to teams with vaunted historic defenses throughout their history, they live off reputation. The Bears have been living off reputation defensively for a while. Even when they went to the Super Bowl in the 06 season, people assumed it was because of that. It was a very good bend but don't break defense.
Very opportunistic. Always, under Lovie Smith, they always, and it's funny, we always talk about how it should fluctuate year to year turnovers.
Yeah.
With them, it never did. They were always high.
Yeah. And again,
ironically, under Mark Trestman, they were really low.
They were really low in that, and that's where they were kind of exposed. But it took a year, like last year, to wake them up to all the personnel changes that are needed defensively. New general manager as well as a new coach. It won't happen overnight. They will start to turn it around. But again, playing the AFC West and the NFC West, this is going to be tough this year. So you may not see much more improvement than a game or two in the standings this year. They could be a much better team.
I think they can get to 500.
That would be super impressive against this schedule. If they get to 500 against this schedule, they should, what is it, Michigan Avenue, that's the big thing. They should preemptively just throw a parade.
Last place schedule
route.
In the NFC, though. Keep in mind that always helps. You know, their swing games will be Washington and Tampa.
And that helps, particularly when Washington's one of the two teams. But, you know, for as much as, again, first place schedule, fourth place schedule, it's a variable of two games now, the way they're doing it.
It is.
So, you know,
but
it's not
those
a whole
two
lot.
Games can, you know, sometimes be a difference.
Can be, yeah. But that's, you know, a little bit of a bounce back for them, perhaps. I don't know. I'm going to say probably six wins for them.
What do we think about Minnesota?
Minnesota won seven last year, and I'll tell you what, even against a tougher schedule, with the way that they are progressing, and I am assuming that Anthony Barr, who had an amazing rookie year, I'm assuming that he comes back full strength, ready to go next year. That's a team. They won seven, and I have them
like,
for six
this,
wins
is,
a year ago.
Is this going to be like your new St. Louis?
It could be. I'm going to say
them in St. Louis. I think they may replace St. Louis as like the PBR team of the league.
I'm going to say like nine wins, and a team that will at least be on the fringe of the playoff hunt all year, if not take a spot at the very end. Minnesota's either a wild card team or somebody that gets eliminated at the 11th hour. I like Minnesota.
I can't remember if I said 6-10 or 7-9 before the year, but they finished 7-9. So, you know, regardless, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's weird how the narrative can change after just one year.
Right.
Mike Zimmer got this job. We both liked that hire.
Yep.
He inherited a defense that was terrible the year before. Made Brian Hoyer look good, for God's sake.
Right.
And predictably, I guess, he made the defense really good. So, I mean, the defense now, you talk about picking Anthony Barr. That was a pick I loved. I loved the Vikings' first-round draft.
Right.
You know, we mocked the Browns and how they've bungled a lot of multi-pick first rounds in the past.
Yep.
Minnesota hit theirs out of the park.
They got it
in
right.
My opinion.
Yep.
But now, Minnesota, so they threw Bridgewater in much earlier than they anticipated.
Right.
Because of injury. And there's not really a lot around him on that side of the ball. They need to upgrade at the skill positions, and both receiver and running back, and on the offensive line.
They do.
That's where they need to hit the draft, because they've had some bad. We talk about them doing well last year in the draft early. They've had some bad early whiffs before that.
They have.
Matt Khalil was horrible. Was one of the worst offensive linemen in the league last year. At the receiver position, Greg Jennings and Patterson, that's a nothing group.
Cordarrelle Patterson coming into the season, you talked about it a second ago. He was the toast of the skinny jeans set.
I picked him on my fantasy team. I thought he was going to be huge, and you know what? Him, Tavon Austin, Percy Harvin.
Specialists, yeah.
Just,
you can't take specialists.
I'm punting on all those guys.
Right, right. That's how you got to look at it. They got to improve in those spots there. What's funny is, and again, you think
and
that,
then we haven't even mentioned the Adrian Peterson thing.
Well, and
it was
just
a miracle.
I was just going to get to that. They won seven games without him after they did win six games the year before, and we were all crapping on them.
Five, 10-1.
I'm sorry, 5-10-1. All right, so it was I was looking at my pick for them. All right, so they were a game and a half better than they were the year before, and we're looking at it like this dramatically better. But
why is he still on the roster?
I don't know.
That so I do not know. I didn't even think they should have let, like, as soon as they were playing okay, and it was obvious they were going to be an okay team this year, I was like, cut him.
Well,
I mean, I don't know what their books look like and what the benefits and
regardless of
are.
What the official, you know, wins against replacement total tells you for players, look. Adrian Peterson, when they made the playoffs in 2012.
He's old now, too.
Right, right. But how much, whatever the wins against replacement number tells you for what he was responsible for in 2012, will horribly undersell it. Because the fact that they were a playoff team with nothing else but Adrian Peterson, and then they of course, plummeted the year after that, the fact that they were only a game and a half better without Adrian Peterson, that's massive. Because Adrian Peterson, I would, you know, prime level Adrian Peterson, you should have lost two or three more games minimum. There's not much further to go when you're 5-10-1.
The fact that they, I mean, we both kind of thought they were going to improve it, like slight improvement.
Right.
But the fact they did improve, despite
without
Bridgewater
him.
In early,
yeah.
Peterson, that debacle.
Well, by the end of the year, they were better with Bridgewater than they were with the flunkies that were just making them, you know,
yeah,
wait
that's
to
the
get
thing.
In
you're
there.
Right. I mean, Bridgewater was, I mean, he struggled early, but that's predictable.
Right.
So, and I don't think I was high on this team. The way I look at this division right now,
right,
the NFC North is Green Bay's the best.
Yeah.
And the other three teams are all kind of like 500-ish teams.
They are, but I'll go out on a limb and say Minnesota second, and then Detroit third, Chicago fourth. I'll do that.
Okay. I'll wait and see. I'll investigate a little bit more. I think I think it could be like 9-7, 8-8, 7-9, a real tight finish between those
three. Are we in agreement, at least at this point? And if we are, I don't imagine this is going to change. Are we in agreement that Green Bay is probably the only playoff team out the bunch?
Definitively, yes. But okay. But I could see one of these other ones. Detroit will not be. Detroit, because
I mean,
they made it. You know how
I
am.
I guess I'm contradicting myself because I said before Minnesota will be on the fringe. In the end, I think at 9-7 they won't make it, but I think they'll be in the conversation the whole year. I'll say that.
Okay. I mean, Detroit will not be a playoff team next year.
Yeah.
Chicago, I get that's asking a lot of improvement.
It is.
And Minnesota, I just think they kind of plateau rather than improve again. So,
okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay was the only one.
We'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out in the NFC North in 2015.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.